All right, Revelation chapter number 8 tonight. We've been studying now for some time, and we got a lot of new students in here tonight, and I praise God for that. Thank y'all for being here. We've been in the book of Revelation now for quite some time. I don't exactly know how many lessons that we've had so far, but what we've done is we've broken the book of Revelation down into five major categories. We looked, we just introduced it one night, but then the first thing that we looked at was the witness of the Lamb. We looked at chapter 1, chapter 2, and 3, and we looked at how the Lord is a witness. He gave the witness, the book of Revelation, but He wants us to be witnesses. And that's why it's so important to study the book of Revelation, so that we can teach others about the book of Revelation, things that are going on. Then we looked at the worship of the Lamb. That was found in chapter 4 and chapter 5, where in heaven we were taken from the earth up into heaven. And we saw a bunch of heavenly scenes and saw the worship of the Lamb in chapter 4 and chapter 5. And now we have begun on the third section of our study. And this is the longest section of the study of the book of Revelation of the five studies that we're going to do. And this is on the wrath of the Lamb. Now, the tribulation period that's going to be here, that's coming soon to this earth, and before it does come, all Christians are leaving. Hallelujah. And we won't be here for the tribulation. Glory to the Lord. But during that 7 years, the book of Revelation covers that 7 year period between chapter 6 and chapter 18. Those I forget how many chapters is that? 12 chapters. Those chapters cover the period of the tribulation, that seven-year period. It goes through it in three phases. It deals with the opening of seven seals, seven trumpets, seven pouring out of vials. And then there's some other chapters that go into detail about certain particulars of the tribulation period. And then Revelation chapter 19 shows the Lord coming back and taking this world as rightful owner and rightful ruler. Hallelujah. And He'll reign on this earth for 1,000 years. The book of Revelation, once you understand the layout of it and understand a few of the particulars that do go on in the book of Revelation, it's easy to understand. It's just hard to believe. I mean, all of this that goes on in the book of Revelation is just so hard to grasp that it's actually going to happen. And the intent of this study is to just give you an overview of the book of Revelation, so that when you come back in your personal time to study it, you'll be able to better grasp, have a good underfooting of what the book of Revelation is all about. And it won't just push you away from studying in your own personal time. Now, we began in Revelation chapter 6 with the opening of seven seals. And we're just about to open the seventh seal in the book of Revelation chapter number 8. And when we began in chapter 6, we looked at the opening of six seals. And those six seals told us some things that were going to happen during the tribulation. And I want to begin tonight in Revelation chapter number 8, where we're at in our study. We want to read the entire chapter. It's not but 13 verses. And I'm trying to do that so we'll read every word of the book of Revelation by the end of this study. Because the Bible tells us in the very first chapter, blessed are they that read and that hear the prophecy of this book. So I'm trying to get all of us a blessing by hearing every word of the book of Revelation and studying it ourselves. Now look in Revelation chapter 8, verse 1. It says, and when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. And some have said that proves there's no women in heaven, but I won't go there. Just a joke. Don't crucify me yet, okay? Now, verse number 2. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. The angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of trees was burnt up, and all green grass was burnt up. And the second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood, and the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and the third part of the ships were destroyed. The third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of the waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood, and the third part of the waters became wormwood. And many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was spent, and the third part of the moon, the third part of the stars, so as the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels, which are yet to sound. Father, please touch me tonight. Please enable me to teach this in a fashion, God, that help these that have come to study tonight to understand the book of Revelation better. Lord, there's nothing in me that's of any worth. Father, I cannot do this of my own. So I'm asking you, Lord, to please open my mind, my heart, my mouth tonight. Lord, I pray not just for myself, but I pray for every person that's in this room that you would touch them. And Lord, please open their hearts and their minds to this wonderful book, the book of Revelation. Lord, I love studying this book and love being able to read it and to learn about it, Father. And Lord, how much you've shown me just in the time that I've spent with it in these last few weeks. And I praise you for that. Now, Lord, you please touch every one of our hearts tonight. And we're thankful for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Now, if you look on your study sheet tonight on page 1, this is the third part of the study on the book on the wrath of the Lamb. Chapter 8 begins with Jesus opening the seventh seal of the seven seal book. Chapter 6, you remember, recorded the opening of six of the seven seals and ended with men begging the rocks to fall on them and hide them from the face of him that sat on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. Before the opening of the seventh seal, John is given the revelation of the sealed servants and the salvation of souls during the tribulation. Without this chapter being inserted into the narrative of the sealed judgments, John would have seen all of the tribulation's trouble without any triumph. So the disciple who wrote the Gospel of John for the express intent of people reading his gospel and believing in Jesus Christ is shown chapter 7 and souls being saved under the ministry of 144,000 tribulation evangelists. Now he sees the opening of the seventh seal being opened and about to begin another trip through the tribulation with the blowing of seven trumpets. Another account is about to begin with this distinctive description of the 7 years of tribulation. Now, I want you to understand what we've just read, where we're at in our study of the book of Revelation. In Revelation chapter 6, John sees the opening of six of the seven seals. In that, we saw all kind of things happening. We'll look at that in just a minute. But before the opening of the seventh seal, John sees Revelation chapter number 7. And God inserted Revelation chapter number 7 in there to show John what another phase of the tribulation. All John had seen was just chaotic earth in chapter 6. But chapter 7 describes 144,000 evangelists being sealed with the mark of God in their foreheads, and they're going to be used during the tribulation period to preach and teach the Word of God during the tribulation. He also sees a great multitude with that no man could number that had gotten saved during the tribulation. So what Revelation chapter 6 and 7 does, chapter 6 tells us of all the turmoil that's going to happen during the tribulation. Chapter 7 tells us that there is going to be hope for some during the tribulation. And we looked at last week in our study of how the tribulation saints would be saved. They'll be saved by hearing about Jesus Christ, believing in Him, and not taking the mark of the beast. If they don't take the mark of the beast during the tribulation period, the Bible plainly declares that the Antichrist will have his government agents to behead them for the witness that they hold for the Lord Jesus Christ. And like I said last week, I'm glad I'm saved now by grace. I'm glad I'm not going into the tribulation and try to be saved then. I'm glad God has saved me by His grace. But we need to be warning people as much as we can, because if we don't tell them and they do go in the tribulation, they've not had that opportunity to be saved. They're going to have to suffer all of the things of tribulation. And hearing the preaching, they're going to have to refuse the mark of the beast. And that means sudden death for whoever believes during the tribulation. So we need to be witnesses now and telling people about Jesus Christ. Now, the setting for tragedy, the first part of this study tonight. When we opened up, there's the blowing of the seventh trumpet, and that ends that account of the tribulation. Now let's look at something. The seven seals have given us an overall view of the tribulation from its beginning to its end. The rise of the Antichrist, worldwide terror, worldwide famine, and worldwide death plagued the inhabitants of the earth. Even with the chaotic events of this period, men are going to hear the preaching of God's servants and believe in Jesus Christ and resist the pledge of allegiance to the satanic Messiah. A plea for judgment was heard at the opening of the fifth seal. Now, I want to refresh in your memory. You remember when we were in chapter 6, at the opening of the fifth seal, he saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, saying, "How long, O Lord? How long do you spare not avenging our blood?" And he said, "Just rest for a little while, because some others are going to follow you in martyrdom." And he's talking about those tribulation saints. So you remember the prayers came up before the Lord, and they were just told to rest for a little while. Now, watch this. A plea for judgment was heard at the opening of the fifth seal from the martyred souls, and now that prayer is about to be answered by God Himself. Seven angels are given seven trumpets, and they are stand ready to sound, but first God needs to answer some prayers. Number one, an angel is seen standing at the altar. You remember at the layout of the tabernacle, when Moses laid out the tabernacle, he was shown a pattern in the mount. And whenever you would go into that tabernacle, you would see different pieces of furniture. And one of those pieces of furniture was a golden altar. And it was called the altar of incense. It's where John the Baptist's daddy, Zacharias, was praying at the time whenever he saw that vision of the angel, which told him that they were going to have a child in the old age and that it was going to be John the Baptist. That's that golden altar of incense. Well, up in heaven, there is a golden altar of incense up in heaven. There's an Ark of the Covenant up in heaven. They're not going to find it down here. It's up there. The Ark of Covenant's up there. There's a mercy seat. And God is sitting on the throne, the mercy seat of heaven. And so an angel is seen standing at this golden altar. Having a golden censer and much incense was given unto him. Now, he is to offer the incense with the prayers of the martyred saints. The angel's offering ascends up before God out of the angel's hand. I thought that interesting. Number two, now the angel takes that censer, fills it with fire from off of that golden altar, and casts it to the earth. When this happens, there are voices, thunderings, lightnings, and an earthquake found in verse 5. Now you remember at In chapter number four and five, there were voices and lightnings and thunderings, and God was preparing Himself to bring judgment upon the earth. Now in chapter 7, it begins with a silence. That means that account of the tribulation is over. Now another account of the tribulation is about to begin. But before it begins, God has this angel fill that censer with all of this fire, and he takes it and he hurls it and slings it to the earth. He says, is that really going to happen? It's what the book said. I don't try to superimpose anything into this. I just believe that this is what's going to happen during the tribulation. Now, number three, the seven angels with the seven trumpets now prepare themselves to sound. John Phillips writes in his book called Exploring Revelation, said preliminary rumblings are heard, presaging the great upheaval soon to take place. Voices, thunderings, lightnings, earthquakes. In its essence, this formula, sometimes called a formula for catastrophe, is repeated four times in the apocalypse. Prayer that can precipitate such things truly must be potent indeed. So the silence ends. The prayers of God's people have been flung into the scales and have tipped the balance in favor of an immediate resumption of hostilities by heaven. In other words, these prayers that these martyred souls have been praying, now they come up before God and God hears those prayers, and God is about to answer those prayers of the martyred saints. You remember they're praying, Lord, how long before you avenge our blood? How long, Lord, before you take vengeance upon those that martyred us? Now God has heard those prayers, and now God has that angel sling that censer down to earth, and God is about to exact vengeance upon this earth for all of those martyred souls. And that's what the blowing of the seven trumpets is all about. Now, the sounding of the trumpets. Number one, trumpets in the Bible are connected with worship. Whenever they would, at certain times when they were called to worship, they would sound trumpets. It was also, they used trumpets to call them together for work, as in the book of Nehemiah. But trumpets were also used to assemble for war. These trumpets are definitely sounded for war. They signal God's war upon the earth. It is interesting to note that God overthrew Jericho with the blowing of seven trumpets. Now we have a type of this in the Old Testament in Joshua chapter number 6. And I want to read some of that to you tonight. I don't have this in your notes because God showed me this afternoon and I thought it quite interesting. You remember the story of Jericho and how the people of God came up against Jericho and it was straightly shut up, the Bible said. And God told Joshua, He said, now Joshua, here's what I want you to do. He said, I want you to get you seven priests. And I want them priests to get them seven trumpets. Just like we're reading about in the book of Revelation. He said, I want those priests to get seven trumpets. I want you to get the Ark of the Covenant. And I want you to have those seven priests march around Jericho. And he said, I want them seven priests to take those trumpets. And this was the orders. Now, I want you to get how strange this is. They're out there to do war with the city of Jericho. And he said, I want you to take those trumpets. I want those priests to just blow the trumpets. And Joshua said, I don't want you to shout. I don't want you to say a word. All I want is those seven trumpets to blow. And so they march around the city the first day. Those seven trumpeteers, they blow their trumpets. And they march all the way around that walled up city of Jericho. Then they go home. Man, can you imagine the people in the city of Jericho looking off of the wall? And that city of Jericho's walls, it was wide enough for chariots to run up and down. Can you imagine them looking over there and saying, these idiots, what are they doing? Second day comes. Joshua, the same command. Don't say a word, don't do anything. But those seven trumpeteers are marching around and they're blowing those horns. The second day they do it the second time and they go home. third day, fourth day, fifth day, sixth day, same thing. And I imagine by now, Jericho, the inhabitants of Jericho are saying, man, this is the weirdest thing I've ever seen. These people have lost it. But the seventh day, at the blowing of the seven trumpets on the seventh, you know what they did? They marched around it seven times that day. And he said, whenever we blow the trumpet the seventh time, shout, for God has given you the city. Now, all of that went on in the Old Testament, showing us what's going to happen during the tribulation period. You say, what's so exciting about that? I want you to look in Revelation chapter 11, verse 15. I want you to look what happens whenever the seventh trumpet is blown. I get plumb tickled, excited, happy. I get plumb tore up about this. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. You know what happened in the Old Testament, Jericho? On the seventh day, they were given the city. The city was theirs. You know what that was a picture of? That's a picture of the blowing of the seven trumpets during the tribulation period. And at the blowing of that seventh trumpet, there's a shout in heaven, and the kingdoms, not just the city, but the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our Lord and His Christ. Hallelujah! Glory to God. And I got to thinking about this. It may be they blew the trumpet one time per day. It may be that these seven trumpets are blown. The first trumpet's blown the first year of tribulation. Second trumpet's blown the second year of tribulation. Third trumpet's blown the third year of tribulation. And now we're fixing to see what these trumpets are going to do whenever they're blown. Did that make sense to y'all? Debbie, you was looking at me mighty hard right then. Did I make sense? I'm trying my best to get this across to you so we'll understand what's going on. Now, number two, the first angel sounds and hell and fire mingled with blood are cast upon the earth. A third part of all trees are burnt up and all green grass is burnt up. That's just the first trumpet. The first trumpet is sounds, and there's hail, there's fire, there's blood cast upon the earth, and a third part of every tree that's on planet Earth is burnt up, and all green grass is burnt up at the blowing of the first trumpet. Now, it is interesting to note that after God had created the heavens and the earth, the first creative act that produced anything with life was the grass and the trees. He created the heavens. He created the earth. He created the seas. But the first creative act of God, whenever He was doing His 6 days of creation, the first creative act of God that had any life about it was the trees and the grass. During the tribulation period, that's the first thing to receive judgment upon this earth, are the trees and the grass. Number four, the second angel sounds, and a great mountain burning with fire is cast into the sea. And a third part of all the seas become blood. When this happens, the third part of sea creatures die, and a third part of the ships in the sea are destroyed. Number five, this is apparently the description of a meteor or asteroid falling into the sea and destroying a third part of all life in the seas and destroying a third of all ships in the seas. Now think about that. I want you to understand what just happened. You say, well, that don't sound so monumental. But at the blowing of this second trumpet, a third part of all salt water turns into blood. A third part of all sea creatures die. And a third part of all ships are destroyed. And I'm sure those ships have people on them. Can you imagine the stench from all the dead marine animals. Rod Mattoon said in his book, Treasures from Revelation, there are approximately 45,000 ships in the world's merchant fleet. The navies of the world have about 3,000 ships for a total of 48,000 ships. If one-third of these are destroyed, that would be 16,000 ships destroyed all at one time. You say, well, what's so big about that? Well, there's 48,000. Let me read you something. It was called a day of infamy when the 7th of December 1941 was over. It was clear that the Japanese had delivered a tremendous blow to the United States. Five battleships were sunk or sinking. Three destroyers were wrecked, a mine layer and target ship had capsized. Two cruisers were badly damaged, and many other ships needed repair. Hawaii-based Navy and Army aviation was also greatly diminished, feeding a sense of defenselessness and defeat that greatly exceeded the realities of the situation. As one of the most successful surprise attacks in the history of warfare, the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor stands out. The facts of Pearl Harbor speak for themselves. Over 2,400 people were killed during the attack, with 18 American ships suffering damage. This may or may not seem like a dramatic amount of casualties in terms of the World War II, but consider this. The Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor with a force of 423 planes based on three aircraft carriers. The entire attack lasted less than 4 hours and resulted in the sinking of 21 ships out of 96 of the ships anchored in the harbor. Out of nearly 400 fighter planes sitting at air bases on the island, 188 were destroyed and another 159 damaged. And brethren, what I just read you, we still grieve over today. 21 ships sunk at Pearl Harbor. 2,400 people died at the attack on Pearl Harbor. Now, at one blowing of one trumpet, God destroys 16,000 ships. A third of the oceans turn into blood, and a third of all marine life die at one moment. That's pretty catastrophic. That is huge when you compare it to something like Pearl Harbor. Number six, the third angel sounds, and a great star from heaven named Wormwood, as a burning lamp, falls upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. When this happens, a third part of the waters are made bitter, and many men die because they drink of the bitter waters. Wormwood is the bitterest herb known to man. It paralyzes, causes convulsions, and kills anyone who drinks it. They've got a lot of that wormwood over there in around Jerusalem in the eastern country. This is evidently a judgment aimed at the Jewish people at this time. The Old Testament prophets warned of such judgments to come. In Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 13 through 16, it says, And the Lord saith, because they have forsaken my law, which I set before them, and have not obeyed my voice, neither walked therein, but have walked after the imagination of their own heart, and after Balaam, which their fathers taught them. Therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will feed them, even this people, with wormwood, and give them water of gall to drink. I will scatter them also among the heathen, whom they nor their fathers have known, and I will send a sword after them till I have consumed them. Again, in Jeremiah chapter 23, I've seen also in the prophets of Jerusalem an horrible thing. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They strengthen also the hands of evildoers, that none doth return from his wickedness. They all fall of them, even unto me as Sodom, and the inhabitants thereof as Gomorrah. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts concerning the prophets, behold, I will feed them with wormwood, and make them drink the water of gall. For from the prophets of Jerusalem is profaneness gone forth into all the land. I want you to remember that part of the tribulation period, it is called a time of Jacob's trouble. It is a time where God is going to judge the nation of Israel. And this wormwood, this star called wormwood, is part of that judgment against the nation of Israel. Now, number 9, the fourth angel sounds, and a third part of the sun is smitten so that it would not shine for a third part of the day. Number 10, the moon and the stars are also affected by this judgment, so that one third of them are smitten, and the light of the night is darkened by one third of his power. On the fourth day of creation, God created the sun, the moon, and the stars. In Genesis chapter 1, it records that creation. And God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. And let them, the sun, moon, and stars, be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for the lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth." And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Now at the blowing of the fourth trumpet, God decreases the sun, the moon, and the stars by one third of their mass and power. During the tribulation period, the earth's light source will be limited by God's judgment. God said that the sun, the moon, the stars would be for signs in the tribulation that will come to pass literally. Luke chapter 21, verse 11, it says, "And great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines and pestilences, and fearful sights and great signs shall there be from heaven." Acts chapter 2, when Peter's preaching on the day of Pentecost, he says this in verse 19 and 20, "And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and notable day of the Lord come." An angel flies through the heavens proclaiming, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound." With a third part of the trees that produce oxygen gone, all green grass burned up, one third of the seas are turned into blood, and a third of the fresh water now producing bitterness and death, the lights of heaven have been greatly diminished, and now an angel begins flying through the heavens pronouncing woes upon the earth. How much more can the earth take? Judgment upon the heavens and the earth are just beginning. I want you to read a verse out of 1 Peter and understand the horribleness of this during the tribulation. "For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear?" Brethren, we're just scarcely saved. We got in by grace. And those people during the tribulation period, it is going to be just one judgment after. And we've only blown four trumpets. Three trumpets are yet to blow, and it goes all the way through chapter 11. We're in chapter 8. Those rest of the three trumpets go all the way through 11:15, chapter 11, verse 15. But then judgment is going to be expanded even more at the pouring out of the vials of the wrath of God during the tribulation. Aren't you glad you're saved tonight? Oh, Lord, have mercy. Brethren, the more I study the book of Revelation, the more I understand this. We need to be telling people about Jesus Christ and how to be saved before it's eternally too late. Amen. All right, let's...